Our final speaker this evening has a Doctor of Jurisprudence, Master of Education. He's an author, lawyer, futurist, peace activist, environmental activist, and space activist who promotes the ban of space weapons. He was a co-architect of the Space Preservation Treaty of the Space Preservation Act. He's a judge in the Kuala Lumpur International War Crimes Tribunal and is the international director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space. He is co-author of the 9/11 Independent Prosecutor Act and the author of Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. He and Lauren Murray have proposed a Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal. Please join me in welcoming Alfred Weber.
Thank you. Can I? Thank you. Is the sound okay? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Great. Fellow citizens, 9/11 and the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization. 9/11 was a false flag operation by an international war crimes racketeering organization to provide a pretext to engage in genocidal and ecocidal depleted uranium bombing of Central Asia, Afghanistan, and Iraq in order to secure vast oil and uranium reserves, to roll out a terror-based national security state system worldwide. And yes, although it's difficult for us humans to accept, to implement the final stages of a world depopulation policy. That's 9/11. Independent scientist Lauren Murray states, intentional depopulation and massive genocide are the core policies by which ruling elites drive international relations, economic aid development, strategic weapons development, and the design of engineered wars and war crimes. The operational goal of this intentional depopulation policy is the reduction of the human population. This depopulation policy is intended by the world's ruling elite to result in control of mineral and strategic resources, water, and total control of the world's wealth. One of the most common political epithets for the depopulation policy is the New World Order. Quote, end of quote. The War Crimes Racketeering Organization. Since at least 1954, this intentional depopulation policy has been put into effect by an international war crimes racketeering organization, with interlocking branches in North America. In North America, it's through the Brotherhood of Death, that's the secret name of Skull and Bones, an organization at the university that I achieved my undergraduate degree in, my law school degree, and I taught in the economics department at Yale University. I am not a member of Skull and Bones. I was a member of Torch and Talon. Torch and Talon was an underground secret society. We rented a house, a beach house in Brantford, and met once a week. This was in the 60s, and we had encounter groups. We sort of taught each other psychological stories. Skull and Bones is a different story. It goes back to 1832 and was chartered as the initial chapter of the Brotherhood of Death, a German satanic organization. The founders of Skull and Bones went on to charter the first clipper ships that smuggled opium from India to China as part of the original opium wars, and that's what formed the initial fusion of arms, drugs, and oil as the highest ranking industries of the permanent war economy. And that's what started the modern permanent war economy. It came out of the Brotherhood of Death. And in North America, the affiliated networks of the Rockefeller-linked organizations, they've been mentioned here, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, as well as the myriad of corporations, the big oil companies, etc. Another leg of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization is in the UK, in Masonic satanic networks in government, military, intelligence, finance, media, and the House of Windsor, starting with the Queen of England, who's the sovereign head of state of my country, Canada. I'm a dual citizen of the United States and of Canada. And international neo-Zionist networks, including the House of Rothschild and affiliated London banking entities going back more than 300 years. If you go to the City of London is actually a private sovereign state of 677 acres in the central core of London, ruled by a committee of 12 banks headed by the Bank of England, which is in effect an extension of the House of Rothschild. And by right, the Queen of England, or the King, the then ruler, must request permission to enter the City of London, must follow the Lord Mayor, and protocol strictly governs what Queen's officials may follow her. And the depopulation policy follows from the City of London. The value that your U.S. dollar is now plunging from is dictated by the City of London. The fact that your troops are fighting in Afghanistan and in Iraq is dictated by the City of London. You have a sitting president who was appointed by a Supreme Court and elected by crooked electoral machines, who's a puppet of the City of London. Exotic depopulation technologies. The United States and Canada are puppet governments of the City of London. The International War Crimes Racketeering Organization implements its depopulation policy by increasing the death rate of targeted populations and decreasing their birth rate. That's the technology of how the depopulation policy is carried out. Increasing the death rate of targeted populations and decreasing their birth rate through a combination of the following technologies. Number one, false flag operations and engineered wars. 9/11, of which we're all scholars, and we certainly want to thank you, Jim, and Mr. Barrett, for calling this important conference. 9/11 is the classic false flag operation intended to trigger an engineered war against terror, quote, end of quote, leading to a possible World War III conflagration against conflagration as an industrial activity. To the permanent war economy, war is an industrial activity created by controlling both sides of the Hegelian dialectic of enemies, i.e., war is their business. And 9/11 is one in a series of major planned global false flag operations. My co-director at the Institute for Cooperation in Space, Dr. Carol Rosen, was a colleague of Dr. Wernher von Braun, who was a whistleblower against the Nazis and against the U.S. Space Command. He attempted escapes from Peenemünde during World War II. And he has indicated that there are false flag operations after 9/11. In the latter part of his life, he told my co-director of the false flag operation that with the collapse of communism, the next enemy, which would be international terrorism, and foretold the 9/11 event. And following that, there would be two further threats. One would be the war against the asteroids, and another would be, quote, the war against the evil ETs. So we are kind of in the middle of the major false flag operations. And several years ago, one of my books, I'll take all questions at the end, thank you. And several years ago, one of my books actually founded a field called exopolitics, which is of which this last threatened false flag operation against false ETs. They're going to stage an attack on the Earth by, quote, evil ETs, which will actually be us in flying saucers. And so exopolitics, if you want to learn about the next genre of false flag operations. Another technology for increasing the death rate of targeted populations and increasing the death rate and decreasing the birth rate is intentional nuclear radiation. And nuclear weapons, nuclear weapons and nuclear testing, nuclear war through nuclear power, and through depleted uranium weapons. The demonstrated public health effects of depleted uranium weapons include diabetes, cancer, birth defects, chronic diseases caused by neurological and neuromuscular radiation damage, mitochondrial diseases such as chronic fatigue syndrome, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's, heart and brain disorders, global DNA damage in men's sperm, infertility in women, learning disabilities such as autism and dyslexia, mental illness, infant mortality, and low birth weights. Now, that is how they're depopulating. The United States, which has been subjected to a tremendous low-level nuclear war, has the highest index of mental illness in the world compared to some African countries, say, that are down in 3 and 4%. 26% of the U.S. population has a mental illness diagnosis. And that is most plausibly due to the effect of atmospheric and underground testing at the Nevada nuclear test site, which has moved unnecessarily there. Other technologies that are used for depopulation include engineered bioweapons, such as the avian flu. That's the next possible false flag operation. It's a bioweapon which some researchers, there was a paper presented on this at the Vancouver 9/11 conference, say can kill up to 2 billion persons if it's fully activated. That's your 2 billion right there. AIDS as an engineered bioweapon was targeted at populations such as Africa and southern India for purposes of depopulation. Africa, in order to gain the mineral resources of Africa. And we have witnesses who are U.S. Army Rangers who went and vaccinated the people of southern Africa with vaccines that were laced with AIDS and who said, yeah, these people are going to be dead in 10 years. And that's the source of the AIDS vaccine. AIDS was developed on a U.S. line budget item at one of the bioweapons labs in the UN, in the U.S. as a bioweapon. Yes, exactly. That's how the depopulation is being carried out. Electronic weapons such as HAARP and exotic weapons such as contrails, which according to leading researchers are covertly accelerating global warming, climate change, and unstable weather as part of a depopulation and global political control strategy, which was documented in a 1968 book by a leading Jason scientist, and the book was entitled Toward the Year 2017. You know, Al Gore's book should be called the An Incomplete Truth, i.e. Yeah. What we call global warming and climate change, which is occurring in the solar system because of a 26,000-year cycle at the galactic center, which the Mayans call Unagku. These are cosmic cycles. I mean, there's global warming going on Mars right now. In 1968, there was a book published that says that the U.S. military has to adopt a strategy to melt the ice caps of the Northern Hemisphere.
That's what HAARP is.
Exactly. And so through HAARP, all this, quote, accelerated global warming is environmental warfare for U.S. military expansionism. And in Canada now, we have already a fight where the U.S. is claiming the Northwest Passage, which Canada claimed for its own, and just this week, Russia claimed the North Pole. So that's what that's all about. So don't buy into the global warming meme. That's all part of the depopulation strategy. This global warming is being accelerated in order to flood the coastal areas to reduce the population down to 4, perhaps 2. I've seen down to 500 million worldwide. They want a planetary theme park of a second-tier class headed up by the aristocracy. And I've hung out with the high and the low. I prefer to be us plebes. The martial law depopulation matrix. Now, what I'm about to say now is being published this week in what's been termed the leading African-American newspaper in the U.S., the San Francisco Bayview. So what I'm reading now is from a document that is being published for the first time in the U.S. this week. And it's being broadcast tonight in a pre-recorded talk that I did with the Nova M Network, which is one of the successors to the Air America Network. So I flew here especially to deliver this message to you, us, an American audience. I voluntarily left the United States in the mid-1980s because strategically I saw that I had to service the world and the United States from a place outside of the United States. The martial law depopulation matrix. A matrix of martial law legislation and executive orders of the Bush administration is now in place for the abolition of constitutional democracy, the relocation, incarceration, and depopulation of the North American public, and the illegal expropriation of its property. Hurricane Katrina was just the test gate. The matrix, the depopulation matrix, is designed to be activated by a 9/11 style false flag state terror attack against a major urban center in the U.S., possibly using nuclear, biological weapons, or advanced exotic weapons such as directed energy weapons, which I think Dr. Wood has done a magnificent job of, you know, really holding her space and bringing us to this. You may recall that in January of 2001, because this is all in plain sight, FEMA issued the following bulletin. They said, oh, we're prepared. There's going to be a terror attack in New York. There's going to be a devastating hurricane in New Orleans. And there's going to be a cataclysmic earthquake probably on the San Andreas Fault. That's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Well, we've had the terror attack in New York through the false flag operation using most plausibly directed energy weapons of some sort. Okay? We've had the Hurricane Katrina false flag operation using most plausibly directed energy weapons or HAARP to teleguide the hurricane right into New Orleans, where my grandparents were married in the St. Louis Cathedral, and my family goes back to the 17th century. Okay? Boom! I mean, I went to school in New Orleans. You don't have electricity there now. And Blackwater walks the streets.
And shoots anyone they want to.
Yeah. It's not the United States anymore. We still have the we still have, you may want to turn off your phone, Barbara. It's, people have been talking about that. Yeah. Just mute it. Okay. We still have the earthquake, tectonic earthquake. We take the Tianshan earthquake in 1977. That was, what, 350,000? You know, boom. I mean, my theory is that Loren said, don't say it, Alfred, because they're going to just really say, they're going to think that you're crazy. But I'm going to say it because I've been suing these guys. I sued the Prime Minister of Canada in 1988 to stop NAFTA along with George H.W. Bush. So I walked right into the executive office building and filed it then. I've been doing this stuff for a long time. And I'm going to say it because, in my professional opinion as a lawyer and a litigator, and having watched that letter on the screen, that letter, which was dated July 27th, in my opinion, there's a strong probability that that letter, the controlled demolition of the Minneapolis Bridge by a directed energy weapon, and this conference were all timed. Okay? There, I have just said it. Just so that I think that you people deserve a glimpse into the level of control and surveillance that is at work here. The police state roadmap, which I recommend that you all read if you haven't, it's a 201-page document by a UK researcher. You can find it on the internet or at the website of the Canadian Action Party. States, quote, from recent pronouncements and legislative developments, it appears both the U.S. and U.K. governments may suspend parliamentary democracy after the next major terror attack. That's what this is all about. If you think that they've been planning, Iraqi freedom, they've been planning Operation USA Freedom for a longer time. And that is, cancel the Constitution. Wake up, folks. With the war on terror expected to go on forever, we may soon find ourselves under a form of indefinite martial law. The definition of martial law, if you go to the Oxford American Dictionary, is, quote, military government, suspension of ordinary law. I grew up in Cuba. My mother's Cuban. I was under a military government of Fulgencio Batista. I was in his prisons, and I was under the government of Fidel Castro, and I was in his prisons. I know a little bit about martial law. The populace will be required to surrender rights to life, liberty, and property for short-term expediency. This will be the window of opportunity the planners need to purge dissident groups and exploit the popular panic to introduce permanent legal or constitutional changes. Chapter 10, Martial Law, the Police State Roadmap. Depopulation is the deeper reason for military government. Terms like, quote, martial law, quote, New World Order, quote, Security and Prosperity Partnership, quote, are code words for a depopulation policy to reduce global population by between 2 billion and 4 billion persons. Do you remember the entrance to one of the concentration camps in Germany? Arbeit macht frei. Work makes you free. Security and Prosperity Partnership. New World Order. Come into the New World Order. Come in. Work makes you free. These are code words. They aren't programs. They're a depopulation policy. The depopulation legal matrix is itself a false flag operation against our constitutional democracy. There is no functional reason to cancel constitutional democracy and the Bill of Rights in the USA other than the imposition of a police state for the purpose of depopulation. These are some of the, I'll go through them very quickly in the interest of time. Number one, the USA Patriot Act, signed by George W. Bush on October 26, 2001, undercuts freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. Many of them. Number two, the North American Union Security and Prosperity Partnership, signed March 23rd, 2005. That's a regulatory structure for implementing the legal matrix of martial law and for extending it to Canada and Mexico. They are now implementing the third and final meeting on August 20th to 21st in Montebello, Canada. Canada's up in arms because it's the U.S. Army that is occupying and enforcing a 25-kilometer perimeter around the meeting, not even the Canadian Army. And it's only the U.S. Secret Service is supposed to protect the president, not the U.S. Army. So everybody's starting, only a small number of people starting to wake up there. Why? Why is it that there are so many of our fellow citizens who are in a state of permanent narcosis? That's HARP. That's the electromagnetic weapons that which are being used to keep the cattle anesthetized.
And here too. Why don't they work on us?
They are.
Military Commissions Act. They do that. That's why our movements are so fractious. Military Commissions Act, signed September 28, 2006, eliminates the right of habeas corpus and for the first time since the Civil War designates U.S. citizens as enemy combatants. We're enemy combatants. Do you realize that we could walk out and this meeting could be designated a terrorist meeting legally right now and we're enemy combatants? The John Warner Defense Authorization Act undercuts the Posse Comitatus Act, renames the Insurrection Act of 1807 as the Enforcement of the Laws to Restore Public Order Act, expanding the president to deploy troops in the United States to include, quote, national disaster, epidemic, or other serious public health emergency, terrorist act or incidents or other condition, and such condition is not defined or limited, or other condition. The National Security Presidential Directive 51 of May 9, 2007 authorizes the U.S. President to assume dictatorial control of the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government and direct all private sector activities in the event of, quote, a catastrophic emergency, which can take place anywhere in the world. Finally, on July 17th, the executive order blocking property of certain persons who threaten stabilization efforts in Iraq. On the face of it, This executive order is so vague that peach marchers could be targeted by the order. I didn't see a single peace T-shirt on my flight here from Canada. Not a single one, because I've read that people are arrested for walking around with peace T-shirts. It may not happen here because this is still a relatively liberal city. Okay. In my capacity, 9/11 as a war crime. The Nuremberg Principles of 1945 have made offensive wars a war crime. In other words, crimes against peace and aggressive wars. Since 1945, war has been outlawed. Hello? It's been outlawed. Hola, despierta. Ya la guerra acá es ilegal.
Come mierda.
No, cuidado. Hey, Americans, haven't you heard that war is illegal? You haven't gotten the news? The U.S. and other agents of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, in other words, the U.S. is just the bouncer of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, which is centered in the city of London. That's about the size of it.
We're a military proxy.
So because war is now illegal, you have to use the technology of false flag operation to sucker punch somebody into a war or into making it appear as though you've been attacked, because war is a crime. It's the highest of crimes. And that methodology, as has been mentioned here, was used in the Gulf of Tonkin, in the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, and since time immemorial in the U.S. Republic. Now, the false flag operation of September 11th and each of these depopulation-related activities of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization constitute, by the definitions of the Rome Statute of the International Court, violations of the most serious crimes of concern to the international community as a whole, that is, the crime of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of aggression. 9/11 is a war crime and constitutes genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of aggression. First of all, I'd like to congratulate again Dr. Judy Wood, because I think she's proved prima facie that 9/11 by itself tonight was a crime against humanity through the use of an advanced exotic weapon. Okay? Moreover, since the false flag operation of 9/11 was the pretext for and an integral part of the planning and execution of the illegal war of aggression in 2001 against Afghanistan, the Tokyo International Tribunal for War Crimes in Afghanistan found in 2004 that the use of depleted uranium weapons in Afghanistan by the U.S. constituted genocide, ecocide, and omnicide, i.e., the most serious of war crimes. And since 9/11 was an integral part of that illegal war, i.e., it was a pretext, therefore, 9/11 is itself a war crime. This is important because there are at least four concurrent solutions. There are at least four concurrent solutions to the challenge of the depopulation policy of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization that I would like to explore here, i.e., how do we get ourselves out of this mess, right? We're a small, awake, alert cadre. How do we get ourselves out of this mess? I'll list the four very quickly. We'll go through each of them very quickly, and then some final thoughts. Number one, a citizens' war crimes justice movement. Number two, stop the depopulation and the genocide. Three, shift to new breakthrough energy technologies, moving beyond petroleum and nuclear, which are the principal tools of the war crimes organization, to breakthrough fuel-less, non-polluting zero-point energy technologies that are not sequestered in the national security state. And number four, transform the permanent warfare economy by banning weapons and warfare in space and cutting off the next arena, which is outer space, for the permanent war economy. Okay, a citizens' war crimes tribunal. I'm just going to cut to the chase here, and that is that in Vancouver, at the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference on June 24th, we proposed a 9/11 Citizens' War Crimes Tribunal, which would be established under the jurisdiction of the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. The Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal is, which was established in February of this year, is by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and the Perdana Global Peace Organization, is the world's only permanent citizens' war crimes tribunal. It was established because the International Criminal Court, which is supposed to be doing that, at that date had ignored over 240 war crimes complaints brought by citizens for war crimes in Iraq. Why? Because the ICC is controlled by the Western powers and by agents of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization. So we got the approval to form a Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal under the jurisdiction of the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. So that would prosecute the perpetrators of 9/11 for war crimes, including genocide, crimes against humanity, and crimes against peace, as set out in the Nuremberg Principles, the Geneva Conventions, and the Rome Statute. And just in the time that we have announced this tribunal, we've had key witnesses come forward and contact me. I've had the privilege, along with seven other individuals who are senior jurists, retired federal judges, eminent law professor from the University of Chicago, Francis Boyle. I've had a key witness come forward who is a witness to Donald Rumsfeld in the Nixon administration as far back as 1971, involved in the planning of September 11th. So we have that, and he contacted me. He wants to come forward. I believe that Dr. Judy Wood and the evidence that she has presented here would be a worthy witness at an international citizens' war crimes tribunal. So this is going forward. And I just want to mention this. So people say, well, what are the principles or the jurisdiction? The jurisdiction is natural law. In jurisprudence, natural law has a number of different meanings. Natural law is the underlying force of all of our laws, and our societies, our institutions, our courts, our parliaments, our governments do not invent justice when they create our social laws. At best, they work to incorporate as much of the fundamental force of justice into our social laws. So our citizens' movement is coming together under the force of natural law. In some societies, they call it karma. It's very powerful. And because over 104 nations have become state parties to the Rome Statute of the International Court, that means that each of them have passed enabling statutes which allow their national courts to enforce and to prosecute war crimes. So we can take a proper record with proper, you know, under proper statutes and proper procedures and go to those national courts of progressive nations that do prosecute war crimes, such as Argentina, Chile, Germany, Spain, Italy, Venezuela, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Bolivia, and others, and ask them to prosecute the 9/11 war criminals with our findings. And that should be also not under retributive justice, which would be the death penalty, not for an eye, but restorative justice, which is to take their wealth and to apply it to the restoration of our societies and our individuals and the environment. And so this is going forward. Two, stop the depopulation and the genocide very quickly. Stop all nuclear technologies immediately with nuclear-free zones, citizen action, and treaty strategy. Stop HAARP and chemtrail programs immediately. Stop bioweapons and the weaponization of food through citizen action, treaty strategies, and national laws. Transforming our energy priorities and shifting to new non-polluting fuelless energy sources. There are functioning non-polluting fuelless energy sources and time travel teleportation technology sequestered within the black budget military intelligence defense industry complex, whose annual budget is $1.5 trillion as compared to $600 billion, which is the surface defense budget. These new energies would revolutionize our whole way of life, the quality of life, and our environment on the planet. We are currently developing a new energy initiative, Event Zero, in support of zero-point energy to be launched in 2008 for support of new energy and a truth amnesty disclosure process, which is like the South Africa truth amnesty process, where people who were members of the South Africa police during apartheid came up to a commission, told the truth, and they were given amnesty. And we have indications that people within the black budget economy are now ready to and are in favor of disclosing these new energy technologies, but don't want to be held liable for all the crimes that were committed over the last 60 years. So we're going to be pushing starting on September 14th to 15th in Washington, D.C., at the X conference there for a truth amnesty disclosure process. Fourth, transforming the permanent war economy into a sustainable space age society through a space preservation treaty to ban all weapons in space. There have been over 40,000 international agreements have been filed in this regard. We are now working with the president of Ecuador, the incoming president of Ecuador, very progressive. He wants to kick the World Bank out of Ecuador. And we have a new strategy because the UN Conference on Disarmament has been bottled up by the U.S. Over the last 6 or 7 years. We call it the Simón Bolívar strategy. We're working with the president of Ecuador and a core of 5 progressive Latin American countries to get the Space Preservation Treaty signed there, deposit it with the UN Secretary General as treaty depository, brings it into force, and then bring all the other countries on. They voted 178-1 in December 2006 at the UN General Assembly to ban all weapons in space. Only the U.S. does not want to ban weapons in space. Okay, this is the final exhortation. Oh, my fellow citizens, who I get to see once in a while when I come to the U.S., nurture the body politic. The depopulation matrix can be defeated by our taking active part in the body politic, infusing vital popular energy into our constitutional democracy. Become personally involved in the 2008 electoral process. They want to cancel it. The best thing to do is to become involved in it and energize it. Become involved in the 2008 electoral process on the anti-depopulation matrix platform. There are over 550,000 elected political offices in the USA. Run for office. Work for a candidate at the municipal, county, state, or federal level. Two, aggressively seek removal of U.S. President George W. Bush and Vice President Richard B. Cheney. Yay! Through the constitutional means of Article II impeachment or Article III criminal prosecution for treason in the false flag 9/11 attack on the USA.
Or a court martial of the president.
There you go. Publicize the depopulation matrix existence. In other words, all these that they are set up to cancel constitutional government and to relocate, incarcerate, depopulate, and
steal property.
And steal your property.
Appropriate.
And appropriate and a constant and attack the constitutionality and legitimacy of the component false flag laws and executive orders at every opportunity. Here we have Presidential Directive 51, which cancels the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government, and it was sneaked in, and nobody's doing anything. None of the Congress is doing anything. We have the October 17th law, which is totally vague, in which all property can be seized, and we're paralyzed. And it's HARP. That's the mechanism. Finally, create, you know, if you have a hurricane coming, what do? You prepare for the hurricane. Create community phone and email trees to coordinate information and resistance. Resist and defeat this thing. Resistance in the event of a false flag attack. I agree with those posters. By the Bush administration on the population of the USA. Thank you very much for your patience.
That was superb. That was superb. I think Doug Rocky and Lauren Murray and Alfred Weber have contributed an extraordinarily valuable dimension to this conference.